This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the first chapter of James, beginning with verse 2. As James gives to us this very interesting word of exhortation, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her complete work, that you might be fully matured and complete, wanting nothing." In the text here, temptation is any experience or situation in life that comes across your path that has the tendency of causing you to respond or react in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Now, there are diverse temptations. The Bible here speaks of diverse temptations. There are many things that cross my path that do spark in me a fleshly response rather than a spiritual response. I think that one of the greatest places of temptation for me is driving the car. When I'm coming up the road, there's no one behind me, and someone pulls out in front of me, making a right turn, doesn't even look, not even aware that I'm there as far as you can see, causing me to have to throw on my brakes, when behind me there's plenty of room, no one, they don't have to endanger my life or anybody else's life, they could easily have come out behind me, but they pull out right in front of me, and then they just poke. I'm tempted to lay on the horn. I'm tempted to shake my fist. At the first opportunity, as I can pass them, I'm tempted to glare at them and yell something mean, and then cut close in front of them so they can find out what it's like to throw on their brakes when somebody's made a stupid move. What a temptation to respond in the flesh. Another thing that troubles me is at night when people refuse to dim their lights. I give them a couple of blinks to let them know that their lights are on the bright, but they don't respond. They leave them on bright. I'm tempted when they get about 100 feet away just to throw my brights on and give them the full smash, you know. Just what a temptation to respond in the flesh rather than in the spirit when I drive my car. I had a younger brother who had a souped-up car, one of the fastest in Orange County. He had a full-blown Cadillac and an old Oldsmobile. It looked like it was just ready to fall apart, but man, under the hood, power. We have trophies all over the house of the drag races that he'd won. One day I had to drive his car to work because mine had broken down. What a temptation. Man, every stoplight, you know, you look over the car next to you. Love to pull up next to those little Porsches, you know, just. You want to try it, you know? And just dust them. I was looking that day as I was driving, I was looking at every signal to try and get in a position to just dust somebody. After I got my ticket, I knew that There was temptation I couldn't handle. You know, power is a hard thing to handle. Hard thing to handle. And I realized I didn't have what it takes to really control myself with that kind of power. The temptation was too great. Temptation comes to us often because of our possessions. And of course, the more you possess, the more temptations. The kids drew with a ballpoint pen on your new white couch. Boy, are you tempted to respond in the flesh. Someone carelessly opened their car door and scratched the $2,000 paint job on your new Mercedes. Boy, are you tempted to respond in the flesh. You see, the more you have, the greater the temptation. If you had an Earl Scheib job on your Chevy, wouldn't be so bad. Man, 16 coats of lacquer, you know, and sanding between each coat, and how could they? Someone drops your favorite dish or your favorite bowl and it breaks. The temptation to respond in the flesh. Tell them how clumsy they are. Uncoordinated. Spastic. And so much temptation arises as the result of our possessions and our protective attitude that we often have towards our things. The temptation to respond in the flesh. Temptation, of course, often comes through people. The stupid things that they do. And I'm so tempted to respond in the flesh. In fact, there is nothing that makes me angrier than being accused of being angry when I'm not really angry. Well, you don't need to be so angry about it. Well, I'm not angry. Oh, yes, you are. I can tell. You know, you are angry. No, I'm not angry. You are too. Yes, I am angry. Makes me angry to be accused of being angry when I'm not angry. I really get upset over that. Accused of being upset. I'm not upset. I wasn't. But you press it and I can be. And I respond in the flesh. Temptation. There is so often that temptation to respond in our flesh rather than to respond in the Spirit. In fact, we face this temptation hundreds of times every day in almost every kind of a circumstance. You see, I can respond to that either in the flesh or in the spirit. And the temptation is to respond in the flesh. It is interesting that those who are closest to you are the greatest temptation. You know, a person that you know sort of casually. We have a way of covering our feelings oftentimes and acting very cool. Oh, that doesn't matter. That's all right. You know, they don't know the truth about me. And I don't want them to know the truth. And so I act very casual, like it doesn't really matter. But those who already know the truth about me, they've been around me enough that I can't hide from them anymore, then I'm prone to let it all hang out, you know, and I'm prone to respond in the flesh rather than in the spirit because I've nothing to hide from them. I'm not trying to create an image before them. I'm tempted in adverse circumstances. The children of Israel, God said, I took you through 40 years and I tempted you and I proved you that you might know what was in your hearts. Through the testings in the wilderness, they murmured against the Lord. And sometimes I am tempted to murmur against the Lord for my lot in life or for the things that have happened to me. Looking at myself and why am I like this? Or why has God allowed this to happen? And I'm tempted to challenge God or to murmur against the Lord or to complain against Him. Diverse temptations, oh yes. They can come from so many areas, in so many ways. I'm tempted to respond after the flesh, rather than after the Spirit. I'm tempted to tell a lie. It seems like it would be so easier than to create a big commotion. I'm tempted to steal. After all, look at the way the government is stealing from me. So there's a lantern that I would like for decor. Orange County, well, they've collected so much from me in taxes, I've got something coming from them. Tempted to steal, respond in the flesh to things that I don't care for, things that I don't like, things that irritate me. But what should be my attitude in temptation? Now, James said, brethren, count it all joy. Wait a minute, James. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to respond that way. When I'm being tested, when someone's pulled in front of me, I'm throwing on my brakes, to count it all joy? Hard. In fact, it's near impossible. But Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the Corinthians, said that he counted all joy the tribulations that he was experiencing for Jesus. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount to rejoice when we are persecuted for His sake. Be exceeding glad. Not responding in the flesh, but responding in the Spirit. Rejoicing in those hard, irritating situations. You see, life is never going to be free of difficulties, of irritating experiences. We all are going to face them several times during each day. Situations in which I can, one, respond after the flesh, or two, respond after the Spirit. I'm tempted to respond after the flesh. Each of us have experiences, many experiences in life, that if we are so inclined, we can become very bitter. There are injustices. Life isn't fair. Every day you're going to face things where you're going to get the bad end of a deal. And when I do, I can get bitter over that. Or, in those very same experiences, I can become a better person because of them. And whether I become a bitter person or a better person really is dependent on whether or not I respond after my flesh or I respond after the Spirit. So it's important that when I am facing a temptation, that I respond after the Spirit and I count it all joy, because it is very easy to be tilted in the other direction and become a very bitter person. I can choose to walk in the Spirit, or I can choose to walk after my ugly flesh. Now, the only way by which I can count it all joy is by looking forward to the good fruit that will come in my life as the result of walking in the Spirit. You see, these things are all brought into my path for my own personal development. God is interested in you. God is interested in your personal growth and development, but for this development, it is necessary that there be temptations laid in the path so that I can have the choice of responding after the flesh or after the Spirit. Now, the purpose of these temptations, first of all, it is to try or to test our faith. Verse 3. We say a lot of things. We say we believe a lot of things. But do we really? We really don't know where we really are at until we are tested in that area. So often a person say, I would never do that. But then temptation comes and they do it. And they realize that they were resting in a false confidence. It is quite easy to deceive ourselves. And the Bible is warning us constantly against self-deception. In fact, in the very next chapter, James warns against self-deception. He said, if any man seems to be religious, but yet he doesn't bridle his own tongue, the man has only deceived himself. His religion is empty. It's vain. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. John writes in his first epistle about, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. And there are a lot of people who have deceived themselves by what they have said. But temptation reveals the truth. And it shows me that I'm not as perfect as I thought I was. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not as far along as I thought I was. And so God uses temptation to test my faith, to show to me where I need to rely on Him more. The areas of the flesh that are not yet committed completely to Him. Now, I thank God that I am not what I once was. But yet, on the other hand, I am not yet what He wants me to be. I'm on the road. And God has given me victory in many areas of my life for which I give Him thanks. But yet there are still other areas where the Spirit of God needs to work. Because they are areas of personality flaws and weaknesses. Areas that have not yet been brought to the cross and totally committed to God. They need to be. For my benefit, they need to be. And so God brings temptation into my life to show to me those areas. Or maybe I have overconfidence in my flesh, areas that are not yet committed to Jesus Christ. and temptation comes. And I fall into the flesh, and I respond after the flesh. And then I see my weakness, and I feel miserable, and I bring it to God, and I ask God, help me, Lord. Help me. I don't want to respond after the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. And so the first purpose of temptation is the proving of our faith, the testing, not for God's sake. He knows all the time. He knew how weak I was the whole while. It doesn't prove anything to God. It proves it to me. It lets me see. I'm the one that's deceived. God isn't deceived about me. He's known the truth all along. I've been deceived about myself, and it's important that I not be deceived. And so through testing, God shows. David said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, test me. See if there is some wickedness in me. And I can many times only discover it through the temptations. And then the observation of my own response to it. The second purpose of temptation is to develop patience. The testing of your faith worketh patience. Paul said much the same thing in Romans. He said, tribulation worketh patience. Same idea. How I am responding to these irritating things in life. And I'll tell you, patience is a very rare virtue in this hyped up society in which we live. I mean, it seems unwilling to wait for almost anything. I think that one of the greatest things that science has brought to mankind is 2-second glue. I've always had the hardest time waiting for glue to dry. I never did finish a model airplane when I was a kid, though I started many. I never finished one because I never had the patience to wait for the glue to totally dry. I wanted to pull the pins and see if the wing would hold together. You know, I wanted to get started on the next part of the frame and all. And I just didn't have the patience to wait for that glue to dry. And I'd pick up the wing and the thing would just sort of droop in my hands. Instant pudding. You don't have to stir for 6 minutes constantly until it comes to a boil anymore. Just pour the powder in the cold milk and beat it and put it in the refrigerator. It's done. Doesn't taste as good, but after all, it's quick. Hyped up society in which we live, patience is a rare virtue. I have a hard time waiting for the first coat of paint to dry before I put on the second coat. And, you know, the impatience really doesn't pay. It costs a lot more work. Because when you start rolling on the second coat and the first coat starts picking up in the nap because it wasn't dry enough, then you've really got some problems. You've got to now wait and sand it all down and remove it and start over again. But it's just impatience. But impatience does so often lead to far more effort and work. If we'd only have just waited, the Lord would have worked it all out. I was just too impatient. I moved too quickly. I didn't give God a chance. And now it's all botched up. Because I responded in the flesh. I called up and I told him what I thought. I gave him a piece of my mind. And I've given away so many pieces, I have very little left. Had I only waited, I would have understood. I didn't need to say those things. I didn't need to create that whole breach. I didn't need to mess things up. But I was too impatient. And I jumped right into it, jumping right into the flesh, responding after the flesh, and now the mess that's been made of things. And so by the experience of blowing it so many times, I learned patience. Tribulation worketh patience, or the testing of my faith teaches me patience, the importance of waiting upon God. Now, the third benefit of temptation is that it does develop in me a maturity. Let patience have her complete work, that you might be fully mature and entire, wanting nothing. And so, temptation causes me to grow and to develop and mature. There are areas in my life where I need to mature. And so God brings along temptation in order that I might develop maturity in these areas of my life. Take a little child. You're in the bank, and the teller gives a sucker to your child. Now, you really don't want your child to have that sucker. You know that if they eat the sucker, they're not going to want dinner. Good food that, you know, is hour and a half away. And also, it's not good for their teeth. So as soon as you get out of the bank, you take a deep breath, you steel yourself, and then you take the sucker away, knowing that there's going to be all kinds of screaming and hollering and accusations made against you. You don't love them. You hate them. You're ugly. And every other thing their little mind can contrive to express their displeasure in what you've done. Now, that's an immature response. You see, what you've done is really best for them. It's for their best interest. But they are responding immaturely. I wonder how many times when God has taken away our adult suckers, does he face the immature responses as we begin to challenge him, challenge his love, his concern? And yet what God is doing is for our best, but I'm not mature enough to recognize this. And I am responding to God in a very immature way. God uses temptation to develop the patience in order that I might grow up and begin to be mature in my responses to God, so that I don't react as a child. But I recognize that my life is in God's control. The circumstances of my life are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And so these things that have come along, these disappointments that have come along my path, rather than responding in my flesh and getting all upset, that I will learn to just say, well, Lord, you know best. And I just trust in you. And I just leave it in your hands, Lord. And I don't respond or react after the flesh, but I learn to walk in the Spirit. And I become mature and I grow up in spiritual things. Now, God loves me. And God wants me to grow up because he knows it's best for me. And so because he loves me, he allows temptation to come into my path in order that I might develop through it and learn to respond through it in a spiritual way. Because you see, God wants me to be a very happy, joyful person. But God knows that when I respond in my flesh, it's always miserable. Not only for me, but for those around me. The person who is always reacting and responding in his flesh, you know how it is. You've just really blown your cool. I mean, you just gave over completely to the flesh. You just yelled and said nasty, mean things, and you pulled your little tantrum, and now you're alone in the room because everybody else has found an excuse to get out of there. And everybody's giving you a wide berth. No one's coming close, you know. And you feel miserable. Why did I say those things? Why did I do that? And we feel so miserable because we have allowed our ugly flesh to manifest itself. We even hate ourselves for what we said and for what we did, for the damage that was done. God doesn't want you feeling miserable. You see, God wants you to have joy, and how joyful it is when you do respond after the Spirit. You know, there's just a good feeling when you've come through a test and you passed. When you could have responded very easily after the flesh and really made an ugly scene, but instead you just smiled and said, well, the Lord knows, or well, the Lord bless you. And you feel so good. There's such joy in growing up and being mature. So, the next time you're late for an appointment, and you're stuck in a traffic jam on the freeway, don't sit there and stew, cursing the numbers of people that live in Southern California, the smog and the bad environment that it's creating. But just sit there and rejoice. Lord, you're giving me a chance to grow, a chance to mature, a chance to develop. Now, I want you to notice, sitting there stewing, cursing all the cars and all the traffic and everything else is not going to hasten you towards your destination. You're not going to get there any quicker. But when you do arrive, you're not going to be in a state to be dealt with. You won't be civil or decent. You'll arrive all tense, upset, angry, churning, boiling. Whereas if you will respond after the Spirit and just sit there and rejoice in the Lord, just take the time to tell God how much you love him. And rejoice in the Lord. You will arrive at the same time at your destination, but you'll arrive in a great mood. Because the joy of the Lord has ministered to you and been your strength through the temptation to respond after the flesh. So, every day, in 100 ways, we're tempted. Tempted to respond after the flesh. Or every day in 100 ways, we have the opportunity of experiencing victory by responding after the Spirit and walking after the Spirit and committing it to the Spirit. And so you're growing into a better person, a beautiful person, one that's great to be around, or you're growing into a miserable wretch that no one wants to be near. Bitter or better, it all depends on me and how I respond. God wants me to be a better person. That's why he allows the temptations. God help us to pass the test. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you do love us and that because of your love, you're seeking to develop a maturity in our walk, in our relationship with you, and thus with each other. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to live after the Spirit, to walk after the Spirit. God, so fill our hearts with your love, patience, and understanding that we will indeed endure all things, believe all things, hope all things. In Jesus' name, amen. It could be that some of you have come this morning because you're just tired of trying to carry the heavy load, and you want to just turn your life over to Jesus Christ. You want to begin a new page, really, in the book. I would encourage you, just go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you and to help you to discover the life that God intended for you to be living all the while, a life filled with his joy, his blessings. For the rest of you, it is quite possible that you're going to face a serious temptation before you get out of the parking lot. God loves you. He's wanting to help you to develop and grow up and mature. May God help you to pass the test. And count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because it gives the Spirit of God an opportunity to work in your life and to develop you into that fully mature person that God wants you to be. Oh, let patience have its perfect work in your life. In Jesus' name.